everybody. This is quite surreal for me, and I'm very, very, very excited to be here. This church has a really special part of my heart. Since I arrived here, there's just something about you guys, there's something God is doing here that is just different, and I just love it, and I'm just so blessed that I've been able to be a part of it, and it's exciting also to share with you today. So I want to just give a little bit of my story, because you can probably tell I'm not from here, and I just want to explain how I came to be here. So my teenage years were not what you would call normal. I have come from England, but when I was there, I was actually very, very sick with an illness called chronic fatigue syndrome, or ME. And it's an illness widely known in the West. Basically just creates this fatigue throughout your whole body. Nobody knows where it comes from. And I actually was so ill that I was like bedbound, and I was having to be fed, lifted, and it was just very difficult and painful, because I had to fall out of school. Form 7 for you guys is when I had to stop. And I just thought, what's God doing here? I was a Christian. I was a Christian from a young age, but I was just very confused and very, very upset and devastated, because the doctor said there was no cure for this illness. So I was just left laying there in my bed, questioning everything. Do you know those times when you just question God, when you question, right, you know, I've been going along my life following Jesus, but now this really tests, what do I believe? And in that room, I found God to be more real to me than anything I had ever known. I found him to be more present in my life than anybody, because I was confined, but also just because his presence just came in. And it just completely transformed my faith, and it made me realize that whatever God does for me in my life, I'm just gonna follow him, and whatever that looks like. So there was one day I was laying in my bed like this, and I just started to see these visions of Africa. And I hadn't had visions, I heard people talk about visions, I had never had them. So I was like, what's that? Where did that come from? The visions kept coming. And basically, it was clear to me and to people in my church that God had spoken to me about being healed and going to Africa, and being here in East Africa as a part of something bigger than myself. So that was just really amazing and mind-blowing, and I didn't really know what to think. But 13 years later, that's how long I was ill, 13 years, I hit 24, and I was taken by my parents to a church like this one, a Vineyard church. Got inside the door, they made arrangements to get the car to the door, I stumbled in the door, sitting on this chair with my head back, because I could not keep my head up. I couldn't. And they had a wall there, and I was like this. They prayed for me. They came, they ministered to me, they laid hands on me, and I started to feel strength. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. This is what God's been talking about. Now, that was a period of 6 months of prayer. Prayer, sometimes it takes time. It's a battle. It's an ongoing thing. So I kept going back. The pastors would, as soon as they'd see me, Joy, get prayer. Joy, get prayer. Joy, get prayer. And this strength started to come. One day, they prayed for my neck. My neck shot forward, and I was able to hold it up from that day. And the final day, just to cut this long story short so we can get to what we're talking about, I was in worship, and I was just sitting there, and I just didn't feel good that day. And I just heard this voice in my mind say, stand up. And I was like, is anybody? Nope, that's me. That's something I'm hearing internally, that's God. And I just took all the strength I had and stood up in faith. From that moment, I know the illness left my body. And I started to walk, and I started to stand, and I started to dance in the worship, and people were like, what's happened to Joy? And I was healed from that day, and we walked it out, me and my family. Amen. 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 it's a little bit surreal to be here now. but yeah, I was healed from that day, and I walked it out with my family. They knew, but they were just letting me walk it out, and I kept doing things, and I could do it, and I could do it, and I could do it, until, now here's the big part, 6 months after that, I boarded a plane to Tanzania. And it was just like, what is God doing in my life? But I knew that he'd promised me that, and I somehow had confidence. I'm not a confident person. I'm really not. But for some reason, I had confidence that that was what God had called me to do. And I went to Tanzania, started to see these visions God had given me unfolding. Until this day, I haven't seen all of them, but I'm continuing to walk that out. So I've spent about 2 years in Tanzania. Najua Kiswahili, I learned Swahili, Napenda Ugali, Omena, and Mimi Mwafrika. And I then have come here this year just due to something that God really spoke clearly to me about this year, to head to Kenya. And it was clear I was to come to this church. I've had the most amazing welcome, and I just love being here. So just so that you know who's talking to you, so you're not like, who is that? So yeah, that's what God's done to me, and I just give him all the glory, because if it wasn't for him and if it wasn't for that prayer, I could still have been laying in that bed. So all glory to God. So today, we're going to continue this conversation we've been having about mess. I thought that story was appropriate because, to me, that was the biggest mess. That was like, what am I doing here? And we're just going to talk about fixing our gaze. Where do we fix our gaze? Where do we put our eyes when we're in mess? And just generally, where are we looking? So we've talked about how mess can be various forms. We've gone over that in the last few weeks, how mess can sometimes be self-inflicted. We can actually find that ourselves, we've done something. I hate when that's me, because I'm a perfectionist. And so I'm like, oh, I did it. You know, if somebody else does it, you're like, okay. But if it's me, I don't like it. And I'm like, I did that, and I could have done it different. That kind of mess. Then there's the kind of mess that we can be in when other people have inflicted it on us. And there's nothing we can do. We're going around our life, and suddenly something happens, and we're like, that wasn't even caused by me, but now look where I am. So I think we can all relate to those different kind of messes. And it's a natural thing in us as humans to not like mess. We don't like, if somebody spills something, you naturally see it and go, oh no. You know, you naturally feel that you don't want mess. We all don't want it, but we all can't control it. It's a fallen world. So today, I want to talk about this guy in the Bible called John. And John was one of Jesus' disciples. He had walked with Jesus. He had watched Jesus die. He had watched Jesus rise from the dead, which I think must have just been amazing to suddenly see Jesus when he'd seen him crucified. So he really knew Jesus so well. And he watched Jesus go back to heaven. So he walked his life out because of this relationship with Jesus, to the point where, at the end of his life, he actually started to receive these really strong visions, these really strong visions from Jesus in heaven of what is there. And it's recorded in this book, the last book of the Bible, called Revelation. Now, this book sometimes doesn't get talked about much because it's quite complex. There's a lot of things in this book that are difficult to understand as human beings. But when John saw these visions, he saw them in the spirit. So each of us, we have a spirit. We have something inside of us that is a living, breathing spirit. And it's the part of us that when we die, that's the part that leaves our body. That's when we say that person has died, the spirit is gone. We each have a spirit. So John was in the spirit when he saw these things. He saw these visions from heaven, but he couldn't see them with his eyes. He couldn't see them with any part of his body. He wasn't feeling anything. He was experiencing it in the spirit. And so as humans, it's going to be hard to read this book. And I think some people shy away from it for that reason. But because we are in the spirit, those of us who know Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit. If you don't know Jesus, you still have a spirit, and that spirit can be awakened. So I encourage you to just listen to what these things, what these visions that John had. And don't be put off. Don't think, oh, what is this? I don't understand. It's okay to not understand. we're inviting the Holy Spirit to enable us to get even just something in our spirit, even if we can't speak out what we got, just some kind of revelation in our spirit. That's what I felt God is inviting us to today. And it's a big thing, but I feel that God is calling this church to receive this today. So if we can put the first slide up, I'm just going to read the first part of chapter 4 in Revelation. Great. Okay. So imagine you're in a mess. Imagine maybe you are. You know, maybe you're in a mess today and you've come to church and you're like, oh my goodness, somebody help me. Imagine the time when you were in a mess. Imagine the news when you see something and you go, what is going on here? So when I've been in a mess myself, I've brought myself before God and said this. I've said, right, I'm going to gaze up. I'm going to fix my gaze here, and I'm going to look at what the Bible says is in heaven that my spirit can receive now. So it says, at once I was in the spirit. This is John talking. And there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. So like bright colors. It was somebody very bright and beautiful. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. So when I've been struggling, I've been like, right, God, there is a throne. So I don't understand what's happening here. This doesn't make sense to me. But there is a throne. And these words, you know, it seems like a different world because it is. But as Christians, when we know Jesus, our spirits can actually gaze on this and be transformed and see the unmess, see Jesus and see heaven. So the throne, in Swahili you say kiti cha enzi. The throne is something that there is somebody seated with power. Somebody is sitting there with power, with authority, but the crazy thing is this, he loves you and he chose you and he actually knows everything about you because he created you. That's who's sitting on that powerful, powerful throne. And so we're looking at this again in the spirit. We're asking God to enable our spirits to get some kind of comfort from this. So I want to read another part of Revelation that speaks about where we come in. So if we can get the next slide up, please. And yeah, that's great. Okay. So after this, this is long, so we're just going to break it down afterwards. Don't worry. Oh, I do want to point out that it talks about the Lamb in this. It talks about a Lamb with a capital L. That is Jesus. So it's like another name for Jesus, because when Jesus died, his blood was shed. So the Lamb, also when they die, their blood is shed, and they're pure and they're white, and Jesus is the pure and white Savior. So that's where the Lamb is Jesus. So if I remember, I will include Jesus when we read that. Okay. Just going to pray before I read this, actually. I'm just going to pray. Holy Spirit, would you just come and would you just awaken our souls and our spirits to what you're saying today? Would you just awaken us to know who we are in you? And Jesus, I pray, whether we know you or whether we don't know you, that our spirits would be awakened by this word. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. So after this, I looked. And there was a great crowd that no one could number. They were from every nation, tribe, people, and language. They were standing before the throne and before the Lamb, before Jesus. They wore white robes and held palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, "Victory belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb, to Jesus." All the angels stood in a circle around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell face down before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and honor and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and always. Amen." Then one of the elders said to me, "Who are these people wearing white robes, and where did they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." Then he said to me, "These people have come out of great hardship. They have washed their robes and made them white in the Lamb's blood, in the blood of Jesus. This is the reason they are before God's throne. They worship him day and night in his temple, and the one seated on the throne will shelter them. They won't hunger or thirst anymore. No sun or scorching heat will beat down on them, because the Lamb, because Jesus, and this is where I want to home in, because Jesus is in the midst of the throne, and he will shepherd them. He will lead them to the springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Whew. Do you see there? Your tribe is actually known in heaven. You know, whether you're Kikuyu, whether you're Luo, Luya, Meru, Kamba, Maasai, I've probably forgotten some. There's so many tribes here. All of your tribes are known in heaven. You are known in heaven. And also, from what we read here, hunger, heaven knows that we hunger. Heaven knows that we thirst. Heaven knows, and that's why God sent Jesus. That's why Jesus came down. Because whatever situation you're in, heaven actually knows. And we're actually being invited there today. We're actually being invited when we worship, whether we worship by ourselves in our room, whether we worship here corporately, we're being invited to that throne room. We're being invited there. And you may think, oh, but I'm too dirty. How can I get there? The blood of Jesus. Do we really understand what the blood of Jesus means? Do we really understand what he has done for us? Because in those verses, it says they were washed by the blood of the Lamb. Those people were washed. They were standing before the throne in white, and they are clean. And the only reason it says, I think it's in verse 17, yes, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, verse 14. This is the reason they are before God's throne, and they worship him day and night in his temple. I mean, how amazing that we're invited there, whatever mess we've been in. We've talked about Paul. Last week we talked about how Paul actually was killing Christians. Then just the blood of Jesus, nothing else, caused him to be able to enter that throne room. We talked about a lady caught in adultery, and a man too, and how with that, all they had to do was come before Jesus, and they're washed, and they're actually welcome in that throne room. I mean, isn't that just amazing that when we worship, and when we worshiped here today, and we're singing about on and on and on forever, we will praise you on and on and on forever. That's reality now. We can start that now. We don't have to wait till we get there. And when we gaze on Jesus, our mess becomes so small, and it's like it fades. And even though there's parts of that that need walked out, even parts of that that need prayer, parts of that that need maybe counseling, different things, the reality is when we come before Jesus, he's covered that all. He's covered the next steps you're going to take. He's covered every part of your mess. And there's nothing that you can do that does not mean you can run into his arms immediately. He has called you to run into his arms. And I just want to read this last verse, and then we're going to welcome the band up. So if we can just put up the last slide. Thank you. So this is now. We're talking about now, okay? It says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is now. Jesus is inviting us now to that throne room. And that's something that you can experience in your spirit through worship. But all you actually have to do is look at Jesus and say, Jesus, his name has power. His blood has covered everything. And all you have to do is gaze on him. And did you know you can actually see his face? I didn't know this until about a year ago. And I was just worshiping. And suddenly I was like, I can see Jesus. I can see him. That's something we can all encounter. And I've longed for that for a long time. And I saw him. And it's like, that's reality for all of us. We can actually gaze on Jesus. We can actually say, whatever is happening here, I choose to look up. I choose to fix my gaze up. I choose to say, Jesus, you are so awesome, just like those people in that throne room. You are welcome now. You are welcome whenever. Whatever you have done, run to him. His arms are there. His arms are wide open for you. You can run to him and you can say, Jesus, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful and I love you and I want to be close to you. And would you cover me? When we talk about Jesus' blood, he covers us. That's what we're talking about. His very life, somebody's blood is their very life. His very life has covered us. It's absolutely consumed us. When we accept Jesus, say, Jesus, you are my savior. I welcome you. I accept your sacrifice. I want to live for you. From that day, you're covered. You are covered, and you can know that today for the first time. That's what Jesus has come to do for us. And when we're covered in him, we're welcome there. We're welcome to come before that throne and say, Jesus, this is the mess. You are the unmess, and you are welcome here. And that's what I love that we do every Sunday here at Trinity. And I just want to invite the band up now. We're just going to have some time just to gaze on Jesus. There's a picture that came to my mind when I was preparing this talk online. And we're just going to have it up on the screen here. And the band is just going to lead us in some spontaneous worship. And I encourage you to enter into this anyway. You don't have to stand. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. But I'm inviting you to come before God now in that way and to gaze on him because he can bring healing. I waited 13 years, but I was healed. He can bring renewal. He can bring restoration. And that's what I want to invite you to today. Feel free to kneel. Feel free to cry, to laugh. This is family. You're welcome here. This is home. So I'm just going to invite the band up, and let's just see what God's going to do. Thank you.
Once exiled by sea, separated by my